I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
We're going to make a Sirianni album? All the songs that sum up Nick right now?
That's all
I don't know if they have a DJ at these press conferences, but if he streams at a fan again, they got to drop this as he walks in for his presser.
Oops, I did it again.
Did it again. What are you going to do about it?
It's just the intro to the Mini Man for me. That's the part that he probably was like, you know.
If you haven't seen the video yet, there's something about Sirianni with his hands, his arms behind his back, nodding. There's the, like if
that's
he's just standing there normal.
That's the part that spoke to me because he. I don't really watch that many videos. Full transparency. But when that one popped up, and I saw the look in his eyes, because initially I was like, "Where is Coach Sirianni?"
Right,
like,
him.
Oh, there he is,
he's
right
bobbing
there.
His head in the middle of the field.
I was like, "Yeah, he's feeling that
freaking awesome, guys."
Yeah, he's feeling that song.
Not really coaching any drill, but just kind of, like, hanging out.
I'm gonna show you guys. I'm gonna get this right this weekend.
That's right. We're gonna win this football game.
Can't wait till the weekend get here.
Let's go back to the phones here. 215-592-9494 for Chris in Middleton. Hey, Chris.
Good day, man.
What's going on,
Chris?
Man?
What's up?
Hugh Douglas,
yes.
You are a total fraud. Let me tell you something. I had to listen to you earlier talk about how Amari Cooper is such a great receiver and, you know, we had to put Slay on him. Well, then why do you want to trade me for him? I offered you Amari Cooper and you said no.
Wait a minute, we talking fantasy football? I gave up last week. I gave up a few weeks ago.
Well, why don't you trade us your good players then?
Because I'm petty. Mm-hmm. I'm petty.
Just like
you know what? But you are my partner. If you want, Chris, I ain't giving you nobody. But I give my because he's my partner. I gotta see him every day.
No. That's collusion here.
No, you can't say this on the air. This is off air.
Never mind.
Mike's off. We'll do the collusion.
I'm the commissioner, dude.
You never collude in public.
Never mind.
Right in front of the commissioner.
This is the number one rule of colluding. You don't do what anyone can see. No paper trail.
All right, then I ain't giving away nobody ever again.
You can't be doing this collusion in front of Kyle when you're playing Kyle.
I didn't know. True. I'm playing Kyle. Hey, well, Kyle's
I'm gonna crush you like a bug.
I still have the percentage I have chance of winning is like it's like 50-50.
Zero. Not enough, bud.
It's always like 50-50 at the beginning, though, ain't it? Then it just goes south.
Probably would have been 64.
Oh, wait, let me say while you're playing. Let me go ahead and put my Chiefs defense back and let me drop this other defense.
Okay, all
right, I'm gonna put up a little bit of fight today.
What are you thinking, Chris?
A little bit.
So, Joe, I want to run this by you because you're big on the core values. So, I kind of recreated some new core values that I believe were more fitting to this team than what Nick had given us.
Okay.
So, I'm really curious to what you fellas think of this. So, we got pettiness, blame, feelings, tantrum, and long talk.
That sounds like our coach. Sounds like the football team right now. I like this. The long talk especially because that's when Nick really gets himself in trouble when he starts long talking.
Yeah, and he's definitely petty, you know, and then the blame, you know, we like to blame the media, we like to blame the fan base, we yell at the fan base, you know, all that stuff, you know, and he's definitely get ups in his feelings. I mean, he's got some, guys, in all seriousness, he's got some very bizarre feelings going on. When he came out with that shaved head, I've only ever seen that one other time, and I was in the Army, I was at Fort Huachuca, and one of our staff sergeants came in with a shaved head, and guys, that week, he ended up getting into a verbal confrontation with the first sergeant, which you do not do, and he ended up getting himself a couple of days off and lost a little bit of rank. And when he came in that day, my buddy and I looked at each other, and we said, yo, he went to a dark place. And that's what I feel with Nick. Like, I feel like the walls are crashing in on Nick, and Nick is really, really struggling to get by. So, I don't know.
It does feel that way.
And real quick, before you guys let me go, I think they're going to lose Sunday, and I do not see this team finishing to make it to the playoffs. I don't even see them above 500 at the end of the year.
Hey, Chris, it's as much as in the summer people would have thought you're crazy, I don't think you are. Chris, we appreciate it. I'm with you. I mean, could they go 9-8? Sure. Could they go 8-9? Yeah. I mean, if they lose Sunday, we got some big trouble here. So I'm trying to find it in his article. Shio Kapati, who's a friend of the station, he's on with the
FCC.
I was reading his article the other day, Yeah, I found the part of it. He had a theory in here about Sirianni's outburst. Mm-hmm. And his theory was that he was so emotional because he thought if he lost the game, he was going to get fired. That's why there was that. Because he had like an excitement to him when nobody else was happy. So the theory from Shiel was in his column.
He was like, woo, I dodged that bullet.
Ultimate relief.
I hear you, but you still got a lot of football left to be played, man. And unless it was one of those where if you lose this game.
That's what he wrote. Like if the theory he had was Sirianni felt so much pressure heading into the game that if he had lost, he was going to lose his job on Monday. And when they won, that was the exuberance. Like, bleep you, bring the kids to the podium, smiling, and everyone else is like, that sucked. What are you happy about?
That's odd if that's the case. I mean, but I felt that's something to think about. I don't think, but this is Sirianni to me, Kyle, is in a situation where he's week to week. Now,
it's not a good place to be emotionally.
No, yeah, but I think that's why I feel like he cut his hair, because it's like if I go out, I'm going out on my terms.
The outbursts. It's just so funny to call them outbursts. We're talking about a professional football head coach.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of it's that deep at all, honestly. Like, and
no,
I say
it's
this,
something, bro.
Well, no,
it's
hold on.
Something.
I say this to Nick Sirianni's credit. He is so competitive, and he wants to win so badly. Like, he thinks he's a part of the team. He runs down the sideline.
Well, he was jawing with players.
Celebrates in front of the cameras, jaws with the players. Like, this is who Sirianni is. I think he was so wrapped up in the fact that he was getting booed and the fans were pissed off, and he actually took them winning that game as, like, a big accomplishment that day.
A big forget you.
And, like, that's why it adds up that he felt that it was a good enough situation. They're in a celebratory mood, and he brings the kids to the podium.
Hey, we just
and he's saying,
wanna,
yo, what now? Where's the booze now?
Game.
Like, I just think that's who he is. And like, I say that part to his credit is that he wants to win so badly. It means so much to him that that competitive fire comes out with him where he's like, I'm going to rub this in your face. Like,
man,
what did you say?
I hear you, but, and I know this is everybody else's sentiment, and I'm about to work against the thing that I've been trying to establish all week. It was the Cleveland Browns, though, dog.
I know.
But I...
It was a four-point win over the Browns.
I know.
You're excited about that?
No,
stop
but
it.
I truly believe that Sirianni has deluded himself into that way of thinking of any win in the NFL is a good win.
So, all right, I got a dumb analogy for you guys, okay? Because we specialize in these. Imagine if you're in a relationship or you're living with someone, right? And they get frustrated because you don't help out at all. Like, you don't do anything around the house, okay? The equivalent of this is taking the trash out, coming in and be like, how about now? That's not a big deal. Like, this would be the easiest thing you could do is take the trash out. The Browns are the trash of the NFL. They beat them by 4 points. You don't get like a, wow, thanks so much for taking the trash out. That's the way he came to the podium on Sunday.
Well, no.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't think he should be celebrated that way. But if somebody's like, you never take out the trash, dude. Like, never. What's your deal? One day you take it upon yourself. You do take out the trash. You're like, guess what?
Did it.
Got nothing to say about me taking out the trash today, do you?
This is the head coach of the team.
What about now? The trash
how
is
you,
out.
How do you like me now? Mad Mike is up. What's up, Mad Mike?
Here we go.
Hey, how are we doing today, guys?
Here we go.
Well, Mike, let me guess. You don't think they're a playoff team?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I mean, they might get there just by sheer dumb luck, but I don't think they're a playoff team. And I mean, you know, my favorite cue is tongue tie.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't be helping out Mad Mike.
Captain Obvious Hugh, who you think he's going to say something insightful, and it's just like, oh, they're going to either win the game or they're going to lose the game. Well, thank you for that, Hugh.
That was Waffle Douglas.
This is the first time I've caught heat from Mike since I've been here. What I do to get this?
No, this is good. We got more Hughes for the bracket.
I have an agenda.
I like you, Hugh. I mean, but here's my thing. I mean, you've got a moron head coach, and let's be honest, he's a moron. He had no business being hired in the first place, but he's a moron. And then you got a quarterback has no business being a quarterback here. He hasn't learned anything. He's been coddled in his center that basically protected him and called everything out for him is gone. And now all he can do is run to the right or throw passes deep to the outside. I mean, he hasn't learned anything. And, like, you know, we're just supposed to be like, oh, it's fine. They're going to be a playoff team. This team is regressing each year. And the window is shut on this version of the team. So just blow it up and start over.
Well, if they don't make the playoffs this year, Mike, and we appreciate that, might be where they go. I mean, they'll have a new coach next year. And depending on how Jalen plays over the next 12 games, I'm telling you, if Jalen plays exactly like he has the first five for the next 12, they will draft a quarterback. Now, I don't know if it'll be the first round, but they'll draft a quarterback. Hugh, last time we had this, like, I think there's a misconception that the Eagles drafted Jalen when Carson was bad. That's not true. Mm-hmm. Carson moved towards average, and then they drafted Jalen, and then Carson went bad, and then Jalen just took a spot. But
yeah,
the Eagles,
but
don't, they
bets.
Don't wait. Yeah, they hedge.
You're hedging your bets. You're hedging your bets in this situation because it doesn't, for where Jalen was or where we thought he was going, there's a disconnect with the team. It's too much talent. We've all said it. We've danced around it. We've blamed the coach. We've blamed the offensive coordinators three times. Well, you know what I mean. I'm not saying we blame,
last
but
two,
you
for
get
sure.
What I mean. Yeah, you get where I'm going with this. So now some of us don't want to start looking where we might need to start looking. I think the Eagles are, but they're going to hold off on this as much as they possibly can because for them it looks like a mistake. Or they don't want it to look like a mistake, I should say.
You know what we're going to start seeing soon? This always comes out around October, November. On Saturdays, you start getting the reports of which teams have a lot of people at college games that have big-time quarterbacks. Like Shedeur Sanders, right? He might be the first one taken. I don't know. But like whenever they play their next game, this Saturday, next Saturday, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a report out there like, hey, the Browns and the Dolphins and whoever, the bad teams, the Panthers, have extra scouts today to watch Shedeur Sanders. I'll be interested to see if any of those quarterbacks, any of those times we see that, says the Eagles have some people there.
Feels like we're at that point in the Eagles cycle where it's like, it reminds me of the Carson Wentz, DeFilippo, Frank Reich thing. So Shane Steichen went to the Colts. Oh, you haven't been good since Shane Steichen left. And now some people, for some ungodly reason, are saying, well, Brian Johnson, we need to get Brian Johnson back. And then we all realize, guess what? We have a quarterback problem. The quarterback's not as good as we thought. And then we draft a quarterback.
Well, it does feel like the Eagles cycle is it just goes over and over again. It's like a hamster wheel. We're on it here. All right, let's get back to the slow starts because it's the number one issue with the offense. I mean, you kind of pinpoint it to different quarters. They're okay second, third, and fourth quarter. They stink in the first quarter. Why? So we had Ross Tucker on. We asked him, what is his theory? What's going on in the first quarter? Here's Ross.
I will say there are some coordinators, and this is an interesting discussion, who totally script for success. What do I mean by that? The first 10, the first 12, first 15, different guys do it differently. That's totally designed to try to go down the field and score a touchdown. Other guys, they want to have a different personnel grouping and formation every play in their script. They want to see what the defense is doing, how they're playing them, and then allow them to know how they want to attack the rest of the game. So I'm wondering if Kellen Moore is focusing more on the latter than the former, meaning let's do all these different formations, let's do all these different personnel groupings, see what Schwartz or whoever their plan is against it, and then I'll know how I want to attack moving forward.
I thought it was really interesting he said that because, Hugh, the night prior, you were doing the players' lounge with Elliott and Ike, and you guys had Landon Dickerson on.
Mm-hmm.
And Dickerson said something that kind of made me think about what Ross told us. I just wonder, is Kellen Moore attacking early, or are they trying to get intel to score later? Listen to Landon with you guys on Monday again.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, that's what the week of preparation is for, is you go through your film study and you say, all right, this is what this team has, you know, done against other players or other teams, right? So we go out there with expectations of, you know, we put this personnel grouping, this formation out there, this is how they're going to react. So, you know, sometimes we get into games, we throw a personnel out there in a formation, they give us a look that, you know, maybe they haven't run this year, maybe they haven't ever ran, and you know, it's at that point, you know, you go in with those 15 initial, you know, whatever, maybe it's 10, 15, whatever the initial plays are, but a lot of times those plays end up being feeler plays to see, all right, with this motion, this is how they're doing. They're going to slingshot the safeties, or they're going to run with man here. You know, what are these guys doing versus this motion, versus this play? What's the adjustment here? So a lot of times it's really just figuring out what that other team's, you know, what their game plan was for us.
He said that he used the term feeler plays. Ross mentioned,
that's stupid.
I'm with you. How many possessions do you think a team gets a game? 7, 8, 9, 10?
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
Depending on the game.
And how well the defense is playing.
Right. But you don't get 20 possessions. Like, we can't just waste a possession with feeler
especially
plays.
Especially this team. See, take a deep breath. You're not, right now, you have the talent amassed to be that team that can throw off filler plays. At some point, right now, you're not that team. You're talking about a defense who is bipolar at best. We don't know where we're going. Nobody still feels good as well as they played last week against the Cleveland Browns. Nobody feels good about this defense. You have an offense that hasn't scored a touchdown this season yet in the first quarter, and you still throwing out filler plays? If that's the case, if that's true, you're still doing filler plays? How about you do plays that put you in the end zone in the beginning of the game and put some points on the board and take some of the stress off of your defense? That, to me, is if that's true, that's stupid. We're not that team yet. We're not. You see every other team. The Detroit Lions, they went out there and they kicked the Cowboys' ass. Filler plays? That's exactly what I'm talking about, Joe. We used to go out there, and we used to get quick hitters all the time, trying to get in the end zone. You don't know how the game is going to play out. You never do. Why are you going out there trying? What are you going to do? I don't know. What you going to do? Stop. Why?
It tells me they're not confident in what they have.
No, Joe, it's
players-wise. I mean, their own plan, their own plays.
Your game plan, to me, is not that bright. Like, that's the bottom line. This is the NFL is a game of scoring points. We talk about points. The point scoring is down in the NFL right now. Joe, you need, in order to win football games, it's simple for me. In order to win football games, I need to score points. Hell, it's cats that play Madden that don't run filler play. They're trying to score right away. What you doing? If that's the case, what you doing? Filler play. Because I want to see what they do. I don't care what the defense is doing. I'm trying to get an end zone. Hell, give me 3 or 6. That's it. I need 3 with my first possession or 6. That's all. I don't need to figure out what formations and how I'm going to attack this and that. I'll figure that out after I get these 6 points. Because I got 6, and guess what? You ain't got 6. So now you got to figure out how you going
to
get 6.
I've spent 4 days trying to figure out why they can't score in the first quarter. The more we listen to them talk,
the more irritated I get.
It's pretty obvious. They don't know what they're doing to start these games. I mean, it's quite clear.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.